do a what'd you call it, like a tribute? Now I love you just the way I love that ragdoll. Only now my love has grown. And it is. No.
Why you stop?
Do I love you, my oh my?
And then for whatever reason, I knew you were going to pick that song.
That's the best song if you're doing a tribute. Oh, because, yeah, you can't do what's... I mean, you can do what's love got to do with it, but like...
Or Simply the Best.
How that one go? Oh, Lord. I don't remember how that one go.
Google it. Hold on.
I was about to say, I got to look
it. Oh, no, she was singing Proud Mary.
Who?
Because I was going to... Tina Turner. Because I posted it in my stories, but they were playing... Proud Mary. Yeah.
Yeah, I figure people would definitely. Is it this?
Or a Private Dancer.
Is it this?
Yeah.
No, I don't know that. I know a church house in high. A schoolhouse out high. Highway number 19. The people keep the city clean. They call it Nut Bush. Oh, Nut Bush. Look why Nut Bush City Limits. Why am I saying Bush like that? Nut Bush.
Oh, you're going to have to cut that.
Why? No, we love her. She's obviously a better talent than me, but R.I.P.
Yeah, queen of rock and roll.
Queen of rock and roll. I don't have no water in here, so let me pause and let me get a little water, then we can jump right into it, because I drank all of it. I sucked it all up, slooped it up. Let's pause. Man, I had forgot just that quick that we were recording. Like, I literally poured my water and I stood there for a little bit and I was like, wait, was I in the middle of doing something? And then I was like, oh, D. And I walked back. I literally forgot that we was recording. Just a second.
You must have just got done smoking.
Yes, ma'am.
Figures.
No, but I'm here. We're here. Guten Tag, strangers. Is that how you say it?
I thought you was about to... Guten Tag. I didn't know what you were about to do.
I was just thinking of a way to say hello. A Guten Tag, strangers. I'm Brit.
That is offensive.
What the heck?
To whoever.
How you gonna speak the language and not use the accent? I feel like it's more offensive when people try not to use accents, like when people was in Spanish class, like, why are you saying that like that? Como estás, trace, cuantos años, what are you trying to say? Use the accent. They teach you how to use the accent.
Yeah, but you was doing a little bit too much.
That's what it sounds like. That's how they teach you how to sing in German. They make you do like high climb. Really? Yeah, like they be like put emphasis on. Yeah, I can't remember the name. We had to sing some song in German and it was like high climb kinderlein sing sein kinderlein, and yeah, they used to be like put the emphasis on like the kleins and the hers, just the drama. Embrace the drama of the language.
Okay.
Again, I'm Britt.
And I'm D.
And wait a minute, hold up. Out of all the accents that I've done, you said my, which one did you say was offensive? My English one. You said one other, because I was about to say that all the times that I've used accents this whole three seasons, that one was offensive.
Wait, I only ever remember you doing a British accent.
I did British. I do states, because I tried to do a Mississippi accent, a New Orleans accent.
Oh, true. True.
Spanish accent.
Wait, now I kind of want to hear your New Orleans accent.
I already did it. You trying to trap
what?
Me?
What? I don't remember you doing that.
Yes, you do.
I do not remember.
Yes, you do.
I honestly don't.
That's unfortunate, guys. You got to go back and listen to what the heck. Wait, episode,
what episode
was
it?
I'm trying to think. I don't remember. Maybe it was
That's because you didn't do it.
I did. The Anmans? No. It had something to do with the Axe. It was the Axemen of New Orleans. It was a 2-for-1-for-2. It was the Axemen of New Orleans because I had said something about them being I had said something about them being like I don't remember. I could be making this up.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, anyway, now that we've wasted 15 minutes you know what? I'm going to go back and listen to episode 2. And if I'm wrong, then I will come back the next episode and do a short monologue in my New Orleans accent.
Can I pick the monologue?
Go ahead. Yeah, yes. But I said okay. A short. But that's if I'm wrong. That's okay. If I'm wrong. Okay. Okay. Welcome to another episode of
It's a Strange World After All.
Yeah, the podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange. Excuse me.
In today's episode, we discuss the disappearance of Joshua Maddox.
Joshua Maddox is probably, I would say, in 3 seasons, one of the most confusing we've done. And I know we've done a lot of confusing ones, but for me, I was just like, what?
Oh,
what is
yeah.
going on?
True. True. Because I remember when I first heard about this one, I was like, really? Well, not like, you know, but the fact that it was just there. Does that make sense? Well, that he was just there.
Oh, because you were trying not to give it away. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that does make sense. Yeah, for that.
That long, yeah.
For that long of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, this one's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. So let's get into it. Joshua Maddox had just turned 18 and was living in Colorado Springs. On the morning of March 8th, 2008, Joshua left his parents' home to go for a walk but never came back. Joshua's father, Mike Maddox, reported him missing on March 13th. Initially, Joshua's parents thought he had outgrown them and decided to leave. Ay, Dios mío. My thing about that is what I was thinking was, why would Joshua leave without saying anything, though? Like, even if I feel like, oh, I've outgrown you, you're 18, you don't need the permission anyway. So why not just say, hey, guys, I'm leaving.
True. And then I think they were just trying to, I don't know if I put this in here, but he was still kind of messed up about his brother, because I think his brother had committed suicide. And so I think they were just trying to let him, you know, heal and do his own thing.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't you include that?
I don't know if I did.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember
that. Yeah, I don't
think
I did. Oh, that's why I didn't. Because this was intentionally, I was using this one for a live. So that's why I just thought about that.
Oh.
Yeah, this is one of the ones that I... I mean, I have another one.
Oh, wait. So what's the timeline, though, on that?
I think it happened maybe a year before. I'm not sure. Before his disappearance.
Okay.
Yeah. After receiving no communication from him for a few days, Mike, along with other family members, began searching campgrounds, homeless shelters, and bus stations looking for him. After 5 days, Joshua's family reported him missing. Even though the police filed a missing persons report, they never took the case seriously and didn't investigate. Mike searched for his son for 7 years. A few years after Joshua's disappearance, Mike moved, but he didn't sell the home just in case Joshua decided to come back. So the dad moved. He didn't sell the house just in case Joshua came back. And this is after 7 years of them looking for him.
Yeah. What is with the police, though? Like, why is it that?
Oh,
like,
yeah, that too. Yeah.
After a certain age, they just feel like, oh, well, I guess. Well, I don't know what to tell you. They could have just ran away. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, that's stupid because you know how many cases could have been, I don't know, I wouldn't say solved, but something could have been resolved if police would take it serious. How many times have somebody gone missing and then the police are like, oh, no big deal, like you just said.
Yeah.
That happens.
Gotta wait 48 hours.
And you don't.
Yeah.
So yeah, just make sure you know that you do not have to wait 48 hours. And then that's the whole point of the first 48. Because they say if you don't...
Exactly. I just thought about that. It's like, you of all people know how quickly something bad can happen.
You said me of all people?
No, why I'm me? Saying, oh. I can't live like this.
You're talking about the police.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The police, yes. This episode is going to be a hot mess. I'm glad we got a bonus episode coming. In 2015, Chuck Murphy, a Colorado Springs native, decided to develop the land his cabin was on so he could start making money. The cabin had been vacant since 2005. As an excavator smashed through the chimney, a body was discovered curled into the fetal position. The police were notified, and with the help of the coroner and dental records, the body was identified as Joshua Maddox. The cabin was located just a quarter of a mile from Joshua's home. I just didn't agree with the way that I said mile, so I just decided to say it one more time.
And like I always say, it sounds fine to me. Sounds fine to me.
I felt it. I felt the extra mouth movement because it was like, mile. Like that was not necessary. No, I don't have anything. We can keep going.
I was waiting on it. Because you were like you were about to say something. And now
I was, but then I thought about it and was like,
I can still hear you though.
Oh, what? Do you want to tell me I'm frozen then? It's only an issue if you cannot hear me. I'd be like, well, let me stop talking. Because anyway, no, I thought I had something to say, but then I didn't really have anything to say.
Okay. An autopsy found no signs of trauma, no broken bones, and no bullet holes. No one knew how Joshua died. The only thing the coroner would say was that it was not an instant death. It is speculated that the cause of death was hypothermia, but no definitive cause of death has ever been released. Yeah, so why was he in a chimney?
I don't know. That was another reason why I was confused. That was another reason why I was confused.
Yeah. And then how close it was to his house. And they were looking for him for 7 years. And he was right there the whole time. That's crazy.
That is crazy. What the heck? Oh, I was about to say how far. I said it. It was a quarter of a mile.
You did.
I said it. I'm sorry. So, yeah, no, that is, that's crazy. And they've been looking for him this entire time. And like you said, how did he get stuck in the chimney? I mean, I guess getting stuck in the chimney and dying of hypothermia sounds, you know, right? Like it's
plausible,
could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the ish. I could have said plausible, but I didn't want to say plausible. But the only I have a vocabulary as well.
We know.
But yeah, just the idea of how, or yeah, the theory about how he got there is like, okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
It appeared that Joshua had tried to climb down the chimney and got stuck. There were no other houses in the area, so no one would have heard him screaming for help. After hearing the coroner's statement, Chuck, the owner of the cabin, was upset and released his own statement. Chuck stated that he had installed a rebar-reinforced grate over the top of the chimney to keep out pests.
According to Chuck, with the grate in place, Joshua couldn't have entered the chimney. The coroner stated that the grate could have been rusted and that no one on site had seen the grate. Chuck's explanation was that the grate was removed during demolition, but before the discovery of Joshua's body. It's selfish of him, but I feel like he's trying to get the negative press away from his cabin because he's trying to sell it, and nobody's going to want to buy it because there was a body in the chimney. That's what I think. I don't know if that's actually what he's doing, but that's what it sounds like to me. Because why would you release your own statement? No, he's telling the truth. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm saying, why would you release your own statement? Like, it, I don't want to say it has nothing to do with you because it is his cabin, but just let the police and everybody do their investigation. I feel like he's trying to, because, you know, he's trying to sell it. That's the whole point of him, because it was abandoned for years. And now he's like, oh, with this, people are probably not going to want to buy it or rent it out. That's just my
opinion. Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You might be right. I think I got confused because I think I was like, I thought he was kind of trying to defend himself. I don't know. But then, I don't know. But yeah,
oh, maybe. Oh, like they would be looking at him? Is that what you?
Yeah, that's what I thought at first. But yours, yeah.
Oh, I mean, that makes sense, too, because if you just randomly found a body in your chimney, that's why I say it like that. Chimney. But that's funny because that's how I've always said it. But today I'm like, OK, I have to say chimney. But if you found a body, your first thought would probably be, oh, they're going to suspect me. But then, I don't know. Like he lived there.
Depending on how long it's been.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Then I don't know. I don't know. So even with Chuck's explanation, things just weren't adding up. On top of the chimney being blocked, a large breakfast.
Why are you laughing?
I was laughing at the way that I said breakfast because I said breakfast.
I don't hear it.
There
difference.
Was no K at all. Breakfast versus breakfast.
I didn't even notice. I mean, either way.
A breakfast bar. girl, we're going to be having breakfast. Okay, let's do it again. On top of the chimney being blocked, a large breakfast bar had been torn from the wall and placed over the fireplace. Chuck claimed he didn't put it there. So who did? Who did it? When Joshua was found, he was only wearing a thermal undershirt. His other clothes and shoes were neatly placed next to the chimney. So what?
Yeah, nothing about that makes sense. Who put the breakfast bar in front of the chimney?
How did they tear a break? How the hell do you tear true. Breakfast?
It did say it was torn. Did he do it with his bare hands?
I mean, I know that you can like knock it down. I get you would still say tear it down.
Yeah. This was before like him renovating the cabin though. So how did it get there?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He would have had to undress, folded his clothes, put his shoes on the floor, pushed the breakfast bar up against the fireplace before crawling up the chimney. How do you push the breakfast bar? Or going outside and then going on the roof and climbing. I don't know. I am confused.
Well, and then you said push the breakfast bar. How do you push your breakfast bar? The breakfast bar is built into the floor, correct?
It said it was torn from the wall and placed over the fireplace.
I don't understand. How did one person do this? Was this one person? And then, was this before or after the renovations?
Nobody knows.
Chuck is looking real suspicious. This had to be
before.
Chuck is looking real sus.
I don't think he had anything to do with it. Because he was never there. In the whole 7 years that they were looking for him, he wasn't there. He just showed up to do the renovations.
So who owned it before?
He owned it. He was just, it was just abandoned. He never took care of it.
Never mind. Then I stand behind what I said. Because, who else would have been in there? Who else could have torn it? Like, who else would have just been in there like that is my thing. Were there signs of forced entry?
I don't think you would really be able to tell because it was already a mess because it was abandoned.
So it was like where people could easily come in and out is what we're thinking.
Maybe. That's what I'm thinking. Because
why Joshua in the fireplace?
True, but this says it had been vacant for 10 years. So 10 years, it's a mess. Stuff is falling apart. Nobody's taking care of it.
What's falling apart though? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if this is something that someone owns, I would assume that the property was locked. Or no, it wasn't locked.
It could have been, but people be can easily break into houses.
I know, and that's true. But then again, which begs the question, if I am at this house, if I'm breaking into this house, let's say it's a neighborhood house. We all live in the neighborhood. We know it's been abandoned for this many years. I say, we're going to break into it. I'm thinking other people probably have done it before. So you would know how to get in there without going through the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
So which begs the question, how did he get in the chimney? I know you don't know. I know.
Jesus.
I do not like unsolved cases. No one knows.
And then like he could have been. Wait, how? Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Because do you think he was squatting and then he just. But then why would you go in the chimney?
And then, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming that the reason why this part of the story that the chimney was blocked by the breakfast bar could indicate that he was trapped either way, right? He couldn't go up, couldn't go. So mm-hmm. how did that happen? How did that happen?
Well,
I guess we have a whole nother section we got to discuss.
I think there's somewhat of an explanation. There is a theory.
Yeah, that's what I was.
That's going to come up. Yeah.
Like, we didn't read through it, y'all. And I know I just read through it, but I'm still just like baffled. Like, what? It don't make sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. After reopening the case, the coroner went to re-rule the cause of death as an accident, saying that Joshua tried to climb down the chimney. So if he did climb down the chimney, he could have easily, depending on, again, this is 10 years, if the grate was rusted, he could have took the grate off.
Okay.
And climbed down there. Because that's Chuck's main thing, was that there was a grate.
Okay, that's fine. That he broke through the grate.
Yeah, but then the breakfast bar. But then who put the breakfast bar right? Because like my thing is, he never made it to the bottom of the chimney. He was stuck in the chimney. So the way your face
well,
because
I was like, come on, like what? Come on. But okay, I also didn't think about him being stuck in the middle of the chimney. I'm thinking, I guess no one actually looks up into the chimney, so it could have even been an accident. Whoever moved this breakfast bar, but how did you so conveniently move the breakfast bar right in front of the fireplace? But I guess maybe it was a good spot. I don't know.
Yeah. At the same time, tips were coming in from Reddit, of all places, which Reddit, they be onto some stuff. So I wouldn't disregard this, because a lot of times people on Reddit are actually right.
Because
I know, you know, people say you can't trust stuff from Reddit. One post was written by someone who claimed to have gone to school with Joshua. The Reddit user said that he was good friends with Joshua. Wonder what this dude's name is.
Yeah. The Reddit user said that Joshua started hanging with this skinny, dorky hippie named Andy. All of a sudden, Joshua went missing. The last thing he remembered hearing was Andy telling another friend, "Yeah, me and Josh have been spending a lot of time together. We're planning a trip to New Mexico."
Andy is actually Andrew Newman, and he did go to New Mexico in 2009. So he stabbed a disabled man that he lived with and went on the run. He was captured a few months later in Texas. Why do they always, you know what? Whenever people are on the run, they always either go to Texas or Georgia. Why?
Really?
Yeah, because I was talking about, me and Dawn were talking about, I forgot what case it was, but they think the guy who killed the dude is in Georgia somewhere. And then, if I'm not mistaken, was it Sage Smith? I feel like they thought he at one point was in Georgia.
Oh, I don't remember.
It's just like a lot of cases that I research.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Because I know with Sage Smith, I know they mentioned, like, I think North Carolina. But yeah, I just feel like a lot of cases I research when it's unsolved. Oh, it was the guy. We haven't done this one yet. But the case that inspired the opening scene in Jeepers Creepers, he was, I think, caught in Texas. But yeah, we haven't done that one yet.
Okay.
Yeah. After being detained, he admitted to the stabbing, a robbery in Washington, and claimed he murdered a woman in Taos, New Mexico. So he was busy.
Yeah, very busy. So I wouldn't put it past him.
And the fact that this tip from Reddit actually turned up a real person. Because like I feel like a lot of people... Okay, so have you ever noticed how if you're looking at like a true crime video on YouTube, it's always somebody in the comments, "Oh, my brother's best friend knows this person," or, you know, and it goes nowhere. We even got a comment on one of our TikTok videos.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I always take it with like a grain of salt because I'd be like, they probably just doing this for likes or something. But the fact that this actually turned up an actual person and he was killing people.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have looked at him.
Yep. They definitely should have looked into him.
And then I feel like police don't take things like that serious if it comes from the internet, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Because of the reason I just gave. Mm-hmm. People looking for attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Reddit user reportedly tried to get the police to investigate Andrew. So there we go. But they were allegedly told that Joshua was probably alive and living somewhere else. Wait, what?
So basically, I guess when this first happened, when he went missing, the guy was like, "Hey, Josh was hanging with this dude," and they were like, "Oh no, he probably just ran away."
Okay, yeah, I was so confused.
So this guy is posting this on Reddit after the fact.
Yes, yeah. Saying that he tried to say something to get them to look into him, but they decided not to because they still weren't convinced that there had been foul play.
Yeah.
Okay. Some people close to Andrew say they've heard him bragging and saying, "I put Josh in a hole." Andrew Newman has never been investigated for the death of Joshua Maddox, and the case is still unsolved. Was Joshua Maddox murdered, or was it just an unfortunate accident? Who are these sources that say that? Like, how can we be sure that they are actually close to Andrew, the ones that are saying that they heard him saying that he put Josh in a hole? Or is it just, like how you said, is it just people trying to get some clout?
So this is just, I'm guessing, like, talk around the town. You know what I mean? This is not internet stuff. This is actual people. I don't want to say gossip, but basically gossip, but not really.
No, it is gossip. But
yeah,
even with that, though, who are these people that, like, we can say for sure, okay, they are close? Like, oh yeah, this is Andrew's sister. She for sure knows that he said that. Or is this just like a rumor? Like, oh yeah, he said this.
We don't know.
Well, then there.
It could be a rumor. What I'm thinking is when the Reddit user went to the police, I'm guessing like that's when all the rumors started. But then they were like, well, he just ran away. But my thing is, after Joshua's body was found, why didn't they look into it? I guess because it was ruled accidental. There were no signs of foul play, but still.
Yeah.
Nothing about this makes sense.
No, it doesn't. It truly does not.
And because it doesn't make sense, you would think they would investigate it, but they didn't. So now it's just nowhere.
I wish to, because that dang old breakfast bar is getting me. So I wish to
that. What they about could confirm, it being ripped from the wall?
Yeah. Like, yeah. When did that happen? Because if the house had been abandoned, did they do that before it was abandoned? So had it been there the whole time when he fell through? Because that makes sense, I guess.
Nobody knows, because I mean, it was vacant for 10 years. And then technically, even though it was only, what did they say, a quarter of a mile from his house, it was still technically like in the middle of nowhere.
Oh.
So unless you knew that it was there, I don't know. You wouldn't be in. And then because they said nobody would have been able to hear him scream. So I don't know.
I don't know. So no one knows. Okay. Wait. Okay. So the Chuck dude, what's his name? Chuck, the owner?
Chuck.
Was this something that he had once lived in and then he abandoned it and then came back? Or was this just like, it was left to me and my family, or like, this is just land that me and my family had?
I think
had.
It was left to him. Yeah, I don't think he ever lived in it. I think it was just like a family cabin.
So yeah, so there's a possibility that it was an accident and he just fell and got stuck.
Or Andy, because Andy probably put him in there, and he could have went in there and put the breakfast bar in front of the fireplace.
Allegedly.
That's why I was like, yeah, allegedly. Because there's no way Joshua could have did all that by himself. And then you have these people saying that they allegedly heard him saying he put Josh in a hole.
Allegedly.
So, allegedly. So, yeah.
I don't know, because I feel like that could easily have been started in the community. Like, that could easily be a rumor. And someone was like,
yeah,
oh,
but at
yeah.
the same time, this man is,
I heard him say,
he's a killer.
That's true, but that could also be how the rumor got started.
Oh, true, true. And then also, if he confessed to that other stuff, why wouldn't, but then technically, if you go by what these rumors, technically he did confess, because I was going to say, if he confessed to all that other stuff, why wouldn't he confess to this? But if you go by the rumors, he did confess.
Stop spreading those rumors around me. Stop spreading the lies. They're just rumors. We don't know.
You must have been watching Proud Family today.
No, it was just because we said rumors and it made me think about that. That's funny, though.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man.
That is funny.
I don't know. I don't even, do you have final thoughts? Is these our final thoughts?
I think, yeah, these are our final thoughts because I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just as confused as you are.
I would take alien hawks any day over the confusion that I feel.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's sad because was he running away? Because, like, I feel like if you're running, what was a quarter mile? Like, that's a long way for me to walk. So maybe he got tired and was like, my whole thing is, why was he in the chimney?
Minutes. That is less than a 30-minute walk.
Hey, I'm not finna sit up here and walk no 30 minutes.
That is less than a 30-minute walk. If you are a young 18-year-old male and you are determined to run away from your family, yeah. Unless you're thinking, oh, they'll never think that I came here. Or unless you were going to hide out for the night.
I'm thinking he probably didn't even know it was there. He probably just found it. Because he was probably cold and he saw it. Because they said hypothermia.
I just feel like he would have had a better game plan than I'm going to walk a quarter mile to the nearest shack and that's it. I would assume if someone's trying to run away in 2008, that you would at least buy a bus ticket, train ticket. You're 18. You have sense.
If we go by what this Reddit user said, he was with Andy, and Andy probably knew it was there, and he probably planned the whole thing.
Maybe. That's crazy. I don't know. Why?
Because that was the whole thing. Him and Andy allegedly were supposed to be going to New Mexico, allegedly.
Mm.
Somebody, if y'all have any theories, let us know, please.
Yeah, DM us. Email us.
Stumped.
Yeah, that's all, folks. Yet another unfulfilling, unsolved mystery. No, not unfulfilling, but
no, I know what you mean though.
That is all, folks.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. What did you think of this week's episode? Like Dee said, if you have any additional information, DM us, email us. Yeah, what do you think happened? What are your theories? Was their foul play or was this an accident? Also, if there's anything else in the world of strange or true crime cases that you would like us to cover, let us know. If you have any personal stories involving true crime or the supernatural, we would love to have you on the show and share them with our listeners. We are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre. So if you have any movies or documentaries and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, you can email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms Dee mentioned. Even if you just want to say, hey there, we will be here.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of
It's a Strange World After All. And thank you, as always, for keeping it strange with us.
Thank you.
Bye. Love you. Bye.